remain standing. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 25. And I mean this, I preached a little longer this morning than I planned. I plan to give you a couple minutes of that back tonight. But I want to take a little bit of time here tonight. This is going to be an enjoyable message. I'm not going to preach or meddle like I did this morning, preaching on your driving habits and everything else, but or my driving habits, or Isaiah chapter 25. We're going to read the first 8 verses together. Now, listen to me. We're going to read them. I need you to read out loud, but I'm going to pick up the speed just a little bit so that we got time to get through this thing. So hang in there with me, but I need you reading loudly with me. You ready? Here we go. We'll read responsively. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defended city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee, and the city of terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers, as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the host make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and of the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And let's pray. Holy Spirit, we need you tonight. Lord, may we be able to generate love and praise and adoration back to you tonight in a special way, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Recently, I was reading Isaiah 25. And I had a spell, and I want you to listen tonight. If I could, I want to bring you to my office, and in your mind's eye, I want to show you what God gave me as I sat in my office and sat at my desk, A, rejoicing, and B, convicted about what God was doing with me there as I read Isaiah 25. As I sat there and was transported into God's presence spiritually, just as you can be, I wasn't taken there physically, just so you know. I didn't see a 900-foot Jesus. I didn't speak in tongues. I didn't fall on the floor and flop around, but as God was speaking through his words, it was just he and I in my office very early one morning, and I want to kind of share with you what God gave me that morning. Tonight, you'll need to listen on purpose. I don't plan on running around and jumping up and down a lot, but you need this truth. I'm not going to preach one of those things that where you're going to scream and shout and holler amen just because it excites you, but it ought to be something that we shout amen about. Too many preachers try to impress their crowd with their knowledge. I cannot do that, nor do I want to do that. I don't want to try to do that. Too many preachers will try to connect emotionally and philosophically so that they can try to reach a certain type of person. I just want to preach the word and let whoever's willing to listen, listen to it. I don't care about connecting emotionally. I do care about preaching the word of God with clarity, with truth, and with the power of God. I want to help you tonight. That's honestly the only thing I ever asked God to do with my preaching. Would you let me help people? Would you let me somehow be used to help people? I want to help you with your needs. I want to help you get closer to God. I want to help God get more of what God deserves through you. And that's my goal, is to help you be to God what God wants you to be. See, God deserves far better than what we give him. So few of us really give God praise and love that he deserves. Let me say that again. So few people really give God praise and love that he deserves from us. Oh, it's easy to praise God when you get something you want. When you get a check in the mail, it's easy to say, well, praise God. But may I say this, that's not the only time we're supposed to praise God. You're supposed to praise him when he tells you no. It's easy to praise God when you got what you wanted, but it's not easy to praise God when you didn't get what you wanted. It's easy to praise him when everything's going well, but it's a little harder to praise him when you're sick, got bad news, and it's not going real well. It's easy to praise him when all the bills are paid. It's not real easy to praise him when you've got more months than you have pay. It's easy to praise him when everything's going well. It's a little harder to praise him when everything's falling down around you. It's easy to praise him when you're feeling good. It's not real easy to praise him when old Arthur's attacking. Amen? Say, how do you know? I've met Arthur and known him for a lot of years. Trust me. You see, let me say it this way. And I'm telling you what God and I talked about in my office. We're so selfish. We see a need or a want in our life and say, God, if you give this to me, I'll praise you. And God says, what if I don't give it to you? Will you still praise me? Will you love me if I don't give it to you? Or do I have to give you something for you to love me? We get so selfish. There's times I hurt for God. You know, Brother June, I want you to have a good day. Brother Mike, I want you to have a good day. Ashley, I want you to have a good day. Kathy, I want you to have a good day. But let me ask you a question. When's the last time you told God you hope he has a good day? When's the last time you looked at God and said, God, I hope you have a good day? I'll tell you something, at 20 after 4 this morning, I got up. And I said, God, it's Sunday. God, I get to go to church. God, I get to preach. By the time I hit the washroom, I said, God, I hope in the next 14, 16 hours, you can say I had a good day because of Grace Baptist Church. Can I tell you something? By about 12:20 this afternoon, God was saying, I had a good day, son. Amen. Grace Baptist Church gave God a good day today. Let me ask you a question. Have you praised him for it? Have you thanked him for it? When's the last time you asked God to have a good day? Now, I don't ask God if he's feeling all right because he doesn't get sick. But when's the last time you just talked to him, whether it's going good or not going well? You see, let me say it this way. We can let one need or one desire not go the way we want, and we doubt God's goodness to us. One need, one desire. Well, God just must not love me out of one thing. You remind me of the little kid in the shopping cart. Mommy, I want that candy bar. No, you can't have it. Yeah, you hate me. That's the way we Christians act. We don't get one thing we want, and we pooch out our lip and get a case of the poochy lip and start pouting. And we act like a bunch of little kids in a shopping cart in the store when mom or dad tells us no. God is good. Let me say it this way. Did you know that God is good when someone else gets the blessing that you think you should get? Did you know that You ought to praise God when somebody gets what they want, even though it was what you wanted. Say, you preaching to you, preacher? Uh-huh. A dear friend of mine who's in a building program right now. Man told him, if you raise $35,000, I'll put the roof on your building. I'll give you $50,000 and put the roof and the trusses on your building for you. I said, God, when are you going to send somebody like that my way? That was my flesh speaking. But when that that man's been working 5 years trying to build that building. 5 stinking years. Say, what did you do? I told him how good God is. Told him how proud I was that God was blessing him for it. Told him how excited I was for him. Then I got on my knees in my office and I said, God, forgive me for being so stinking selfish. And I'm glad you've helped brother so-and-so. And I don't need you to do that. You'll provide what we need here when it's your time. Don't worry about it. It's all okay. I've been rejoicing for somebody else getting what I really want right now. I thought, I don't need 50. I need 250. It's okay. I'm going to rejoice with everybody else getting what they need as well. Because guess what? God's going to give it to us the way he wants us to have it. Everybody doing all right? This is big boy Christianity. This is big girl Christianity. You see, we seem to hold God hostage with our praise unless he does what we want. If your child said, Daddy, I'll only love you if you give me this. Ooh. They might not get what they asked for, and they might not call it love. Can I tell you something? Why should God be any different? He's our Father. We're his children. What right do we, the child, have to tell God the Father what he has to do for us for him to get praise? Boy, that's a good statement. Can I tell you something? God's good when it's 69 and sunshiny. God's good when it's 18 degrees and 42 inches of snow. And that's not easy for me to say. God's good in the sunshine. God is just as good in the rain. God is good when I'm not feeling well. God is good when I'm feeling well. God is good when I'm weak. God is good when I feel strong. God is good if everything is working out well. God's good when nothing's working out right at all. God's good when the bills are paid. God's good when I'm not sure how they're going to get paid. You see, God is good if the children obey. Not when, if. And God is good when they don't obey. It's not God's fault they didn't obey. It's their fault, amen? Now, wait a minute. God's good when they obey. God's good when they act like a little booger from you know where. God's good if your wife meets you with a big, fat, juicy kiss. God's good if she doesn't even acknowledge your home. I knew Mike was going to help me on that one. You know, Isaiah 25 got a hold of me. I have about 23 minutes. I want to share with you 3 or 4 things that God gave me in Isaiah 25 recently. Sitting at my desk, that I think will help you and help our church tonight. But it'll help you personally. Number one, we're supposed to praise him because he is God. We're supposed to praise him because he is God. Can I tell you something? Thank God I don't pray to a man-made statue. I don't pray to a pot-belly little half-bald dude sitting on the side of a mountain. It looks like the mountain's in his belly. I don't pray to a statue. I don't pray to a figurine called Mary. I don't need Mary. I got Jesus. She died and had to get saved like everybody else did. Anybody doing all right? She was a sinner like you and me. You can't get closer to Jesus because of Mary. Jesus is God. We got direct access to him. The veil was rent from top to bottom in the temple. Guess what? We have direct access. We don't have to pray to a statue. We don't have to pray to St. Christopher, St. Michael, St. I don't know any of the other saints. St. Nicholas, yeah. We don't have to talk to the holy potentate or the holy cow. We don't have to wonder, we don't have to not eat cattle because it might be our great-great-great-great-grandfather reincarnated for the 14th time. You know, folks, think of how silly some of this stuff is. You die and come back as a cow. Now, that's a wonderful religion. You know, God knows you don't come back as a cat because those came from where the booger man lives. I'm teasing. No, I'm not. You know, God is not some figurine or statue made by man. It's not like Aaron did with the golden calf. That was a God made by man. Those are things made by man. God is not some intellectual concept or philosophy. He's God. He's not a sinful man who elevated himself to be God like Muhammad. Hello. He's not like some guy sitting on a mountain trying to think of some things. What do they call the guy in the Dalai Lama? Yeah, that's it. I knew he was some kind of spitting animal. Confucius. Confucius left his wife, divorced his wife, and lived with untold other numbers of women to be God. Now, do your research. These are people. Jesus didn't do that. He left heaven, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died, was buried, resurrected, and conquered death. And may I say this? Did you know our God's the only one you can go to his tomb and not find him because he's not there? I love that. You can't find Jesus' tomb because he's not in it. You can't find his bones because they're not there. He conquered death. Can I tell you something? Our God gave us a perfect Bible, gave us all the rules and instructions and all the words we need to live by. We don't need to listen to church philosophy, church doctrine, church tradition. We don't have to listen to El Papa or anybody else who speaks in ex cathedra in the place of God and elevates himself to the position of God. No man can forgive anybody's sin. Only God forgives sin. Well, I need to go confess my sin. Well, talk to God, not man. He's a sinner just like you are. God's not. See, we have a God who makes heaven available to everybody who will trust him. I thank God we have a God, listen to this, who gave us the Holy Spirit at salvation to empower us, to comfort us, and to guide us. And he gave himself a part of us inside each and every person that ever gets saved. Thank God our God's the creator of the universe. And not only do we get to pray to him, he wants us to pray. He said, I want to talk to you. Wow. He said, I want to give you your needs. Can I tell you something? I thank God we have a God that when people don't agree with him, he doesn't tell us to go kill them. Folks, did you know that God reigns on the just and the unjust? He feeds the saved as well as the lost. He heals the lost as well as the saved. He doesn't say, oh, if you don't agree with me, then go out and kill them in a jihad. Right. Moving on, number two. We're to praise God, I love this, when poor, weak, needy, and distressed. Look at verse number 4. For thou hast been strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm. Wow. God says when we're poor, when we're needy, when we're weak, and when we're distressed, We are to praise him. It doesn't say when you're strong, wealthy, and able to help others and not have any stress. Anybody live with no stress? Guess what? We all live with stress. I've just gotten to the point in life where I want to be the stressor, not the stressee. Can I tell you something? God does not always stop the opposing force. But he does say, if you'll praise me, I'll help you through the opposing force. You know, so many times we say, God, if you quit that pressure, if you take that pressure away, I'll praise you. God says, I want you to praise me while you have that pressure. And in the praising of him, you'll get the strength you need to make it through the pressure. Boy, that's good. You know, I'm so glad I don't have to be wealthy to get close to God. You say, why? Because I'd never get close to God. By the way, it's not wrong to be wealthy. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having things. But too many people that have it allow the money to go to their head. They get empowered by it, and they get this complex that they're like God. Mr. Trump. I didn't say that, did I? Oh, well. Sometimes it just leaks out. I'm so glad I don't have to have smooth seas to praise God. I can praise him when it's stormy. Can I tell you something? God wants you to learn to praise him when it's bad as well as when it's good. When our son was 4 months old and they told us he was dead and he was on life support for 3 weeks. I'll be honest with you. My wife and I were a young couple. I think I was 24 years old. She was 23, 24 years old. We were in California. Our family was in Ohio and Minnesota. We're thousands of miles from anybody from home. Our child's being put on life support to stay alive. It was a mess. Can I tell you something? That first morning when we walked in there about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, man, there's machines, tubes down his throat, cut down in his wrist, central line in his chest, monitors everywhere. And there lays your baby having machines doing the breathing for him. And you're thinking, oh Lord, how are we going to get through this? A little old nurse across the bed, Brother Mike, she looked at us and she said, it's going to be okay. I said, yes, ma'am, it will. There sat my wife. She said, you're awful young, awful confident. I said, ma'am, I'm a Baptist preacher. I said, even if God takes our baby, he's going to heaven. I said, do you know for sure you're going to heaven someday? She said, never had anybody ask me that question. I said, do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? She said, no. And I opened up my Bible. And I led that nurse to Christ over my son's body. And about 7 or 8 other doctors and nurses got saved because of all that. Can I tell you something? I don't want to go through it again, but I'm glad all those people got saved. Amen. Decided we were going to praise God for what God gave us, even though it was hard to get through it. I also praised him when Sister Fatbottom at the Catholic hospital there got mad at me because she told me I couldn't do something. I said, ma'am, that's my son. She said, it doesn't matter who you are. You're not going in there. I said, ma'am, his name is under my name. And I don't care who you think you are. She said, well, I'm Sister So-and-so. I said, ma'am, I'm a Baptist preacher. Get out of my way. She went storming off. It was great. Say, what'd you do? I praised God. Yes, I didn't cowtail to some lady who said, well, you just can't do that. I wasn't being rude. She was the rude one, not me. It got funny. The nuns would see me coming and they'd clear the elevators. They wouldn't ride the elevator with me. If I got on, they all got off. Word got around, amen. Stay away from that Baptist preacher. It was great. Can I tell you something? I'm so glad I don't need all sunshine to get close to God. I can get close to him during the storms. You know, I'm so glad I don't need all sunshine to praise him. I can praise him during the rain and the snow and the sleet and the hail. I'm glad it doesn't have to be, I don't have to be perfect to praise God. Say, why? Because I don't qualify. Can I tell you something? You need to learn to praise God in the tough times too. Brother Roloff used to say it this way, praise God anyhow. Say, what's that mean? Might not be going right, but praise God anyhow. Praise God anyhow. In November of 1982, I believe. Yes. November 2nd, 1982, Brother Roloff took off and from Kansas City, was headed, he left Texas flying to Kansas City, I believe. They got caught in a storm, and he thought he had a pocket to get through and didn't. Lightning ripped a wing off, and that plane went down. My cousin was sitting in the co-pilot seat right next to him. There were three or four others on the plane with him. You know, it was the first plane in aviation history to where every instrument on the instrument panel was turned off. When that happened, Brother Roloff just killed it and said, girls, let's sing our way to heaven. And I can hear him say, come on, girls. I'm coming home, as they started spinning their way to the earth. They had passed out before they hit the ground, but they all perished in the plane crash. I've seen the crash. I've seen the plane. I've been in it. It's about half as wide as it used to be. Looked at the very spot where my cousin was sitting. Can I tell you something? He knew they were going down. He just turned all the instruments off. There was no fire. The plane never burned. And they said it didn't burn because he turned all the power off. Can I tell you something? He knew he was going down, but he wasn't going down. He was going up. Amen. That's called praise God anyhow. Amen. Number three, praise God. Praising God can chase away the clamor of the world. Look at verse number 5. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers. I love this. As the heat in a dry place. How many of you have ever been to the desert before? Raise your hand. All right. I was out west. I was in Mexico and all through the Southwest and did some mission work. I was in El Paso, Texas one day, and it was 126 degrees. Now, you don't understand. That's hot. And it was about 10% humidity. You could literally jump in the shower, walk out dripping wet, and walk from this platform to that door, and everything was dried out that quick. I mean, you could be dripping. I mean, just pouring with water, but you couldn't sweat. As soon as you sweat, it was gone. But you talk about hot. Out there, they don't have air conditioning. They have swamp coolers. There's no moisture in the air to take out like an air conditioner does. So they got to pump cold water in. And as it evaporates, it cools down. It's just reverse of what we use. But 120 some degrees is hot. Do you know how cold it was that next morning? It was about 52 degrees when I got up the next morning. I was shivering. I had a coat on. And it doesn't take long. As soon as that sun comes up, the heat starts going right up with it. But man, it gets cold at night. Can I tell you something? God says he's like that coolness after the heat. It will refresh you. You see, when you start praising God, the world starts running away. Some of you came out of a bad background. Can I tell you something? You don't have to worry about separate from friends. Just start praising God around them and watch them scatter. It's like you got the plague, man. Can I tell you something? The world, if they can't beat you down, they'll leave you alone. Don't worry about it. Learn how to praise God in public a little bit. Have you ever caught yourself singing a gospel song in a store? Man. Now, I don't... Woo. Praise God I didn't fall off the platform on that one, amen? I don't sing well anytime. But I like singing. Wrong time to say amen, Brother Barnes. I've walked into stores singing a song or whistling or humming, and somebody say, "Boy, you're awful happy. What you so happy about?" "I'm saved on my way to heaven." "Oh." I'm thinking, man, that didn't take long. They got away from me. You say, "You don't do that." I do. Now, I don't do it for attention. It just comes out every once in a while. I'm not walking in saying, "All right, everybody, let's sing." All right. I'm not for that kind of garbage. But every once in a while, I'm getting my coffee in the morning and I'm humming a tune or whistling a tune. And somebody will look at me, you know, it's 5:30 in the morning and I'm whistling before I've got my coffee. And they're like, one guy a couple months ago, he said, "What are you so happy about?" I said, "Sir." He said, "I got to go to work." He said, "You can't be happy about going to work." I said, "If you had my boss, you would." He said, "Who's your boss?" I said, "God." I said, "I'm a Baptist preacher." Oh. And on he went. Little old granny was standing there. She said, "You really are happy, aren't you?" I said, "I sure am." I said, "I wouldn't want to work for his boss." She just started laughing. She said, "Pastor, I love it when you come in here. Everything changes." It was funny. It was great. Can I tell you something? Learn to hum a little bit. Learn to say praise God. Now, don't get so spiritual that, you know, everybody looks at you like you got 14 eyeballs, all right? But every once in a while, say praise the Lord. I was getting coffee the other day, and there's a young man in there, and he said, "Aren't you the pastor down the road?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Coffee's on me today. Get out of here, preacher." I said, no. He said, "It's okay." He said, "I'm allowed to give coffee away. You got your coffee free." I said, "Well, praise the Lord." He said, "How did I know you were going to say that?" I said, "Because I'm a preacher." He said, "That did it." He's done that about a half a dozen times in the last couple months. I feel bad. I was in there last week. I got 4 free coffees. I mean, it was like hitting a lottery, amen? I'd rather have free coffee than a lottery. But if you win, tithe. don't tell me where you got it. That guy gave me a free coffee. I was in there, and they were out of the coffee I normally get. So I got a different kind. The lady said, "That's not the kind you normally get." I said, "No." I said, "But that's okay." She said, "Well, since you didn't get what you wanted, it's free." I said, "No, I'll pay for it." She said, "No, you didn't get what you wanted, it's free." I was in there the next day, and the guy was standing there, hands me $2 and said, "Here, coffee's on me today." He said, "I see you in here all the time. You're the happiest man I've ever met in my life. I want to buy your coffee." And he walked out the door. I went, praise the Lord. Can I tell you something? That kind of stuff happens all the time. No, not all the time, but it happens. Can I tell you something? When you carry a Bible around and gospel tracts and you start passing them out, have fun with it. Man, I reach in and pull tracks out all the time. People either go like this, or they'll reach out and take it. It's duck or pucker, amen? You know, the world hates God so much that if you start praising him, they're going to quit bothering you. I found that out. I think, at Hopkins one day, and this guy had a foul mouth. I walked over. I said, "Doc," I said, "do me a favor. This place is full of families, full of kids, and I'm a Baptist preacher. I really don't appreciate you talking about my God that way." He said, "Oh, Reverend, I'm sorry." I said, "You don't have to be sorry to me. You better tell God you're sorry." I said, "But do me a favor. Don't talk like that around all these folks." I said, "And especially don't talk about my God that way, because that's when you and I are going to cross." I reached in my pocket and handed him a gospel tract. He said, "You really are a preacher, aren't you?" I said, "I am." I said, "Now," we went in, came back out. He was still in the waiting room. He walked over to me and said, "Reverend, you know, nobody's ever told me." He said, "I guess I didn't realize I had such a filthy mouth." He said, "Thanks for telling me." I said, "You're welcome." On I went. I wasn't unkind to him. Now, I could have got unkind if he kept going, but I didn't have to. Learn to praise God for things like that. You know, did you know people don't praise Allah? You don't hear the Muslims praise Allah. You hear them say, I'll do whatever he's told us to do, and I'm in a holy war for him, but you don't hear them praising him. Everybody doing okay? They don't praise Allah for what he does. You say, why? Because he's not real.
Right.
You know, some say they praise him right before they go out and kill a whole bunch of people.
Right.
That's not praising a God. Can I tell you something? Soul winning is a good way to praise God. Going out and telling others about Jesus is a good way to praise God. I went to the hospital here a week or so ago, and Miss Mung had a couple folks that she knew there. Went in, sat down, won two of them to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Man, there was people all over that hallway in that room getting out as fast as they could as soon as the Bible came out. But I had two that listened. They got saved. Amen. I wasn't worried about the ones that didn't listen. I thanking God and praising God for the two that did listen. Go soul winning. Number four, and I'm done. Learn to praise God for heaven and death. Look at verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. Wow. Can I tell you something? Almost every week of my life, I get word of people dying. And that's not an exaggeration. Often it's multiple times a week. Just last week, Arlene told me about her friend that was dying of cancer, and then she passed away. Friday night, I got home, just sat down. My son Josh calls me and says, Dad, he said, 11-year-old girl used to ride my bus in Winchester. She just died of a heart attack. Oh, my heart was crushed. He said, I can't get back to go see the family. I said, well, Mindy's working the route. Let me let her know. He said, please. He said, get them on it. There's a family with an 11-year-old girl who had a heart attack and died. That's just in the last 7 days. That's not unusual. I got a text this week, a pastor friend of mine, Brother Gary Dice, out in Illinois. He's had about 19 or 20 stints now. I don't know how many heart attacks. They can't do any more for him. He had to go in and have more stints. And I gave pastor a friend that let me know. I said, somebody needs to tell the doctor put Drano in his veins and clean them puppies out. He's had, I don't know how many heart surgeries. He's still pastoring a church. Can I tell you something? That kind of stuff affects me. But can I tell you something? Heaven's a real place. We mourn too much about death. And I'm going to make a statement here. Heaven's a real place with real people. When you mourn, you're not mourning for the person. You're mourning for yourself. Not for the one that's in heaven. Good night. They're playing tag with the angels. They're walking hand in hand with Jesus, and everything's all right there. They're not in pain. They have no sin. They're not in any harm. They have an eternal body. They'll never have to face sickness or death ever again. And you're crying for them? What are you crying for? You ought to cry for yourself. We got left here. Now, I'm not ready to take the next load, just so you know. But may I say this? We take death way too serious. Brother June and Brother Ron and I yesterday saw a man, and 2 years ago, I won his 28-year-old son to the Lord. He had brain tumors. I won Bob and his wife, and I won Bobby to the Lord. Bobby died about 3 months after he got saved. Bob just had a heart attack, was in the hospital. Brother June, you know, you heard him say. He said, I wasn't scared. I know I'm going to heaven now. I haven't even got the man in church yet. He said, it's okay. He said, I wasn't scared. I knew I was going to heaven. It's all right. He said, I'd have called you if it was a little bit more serious, preacher. I'm thinking, man, he had a heart attack. How much more serious does it got to get? You know, yes, we hurt when somebody passes away. Yes, my grandmother will be 98. Yes, I'm going to have to do her funeral unless Jesus comes back first. Yes, my parents are getting older, and if God tarries, I'll probably have to preach their funerals. But may I say this? Yes, I'll cry. Yes, I'll hurt, but not for them. I'm going to hurt for me. But I'm not going to quit living and stop helping people because I grieve over the fact that I don't have them anymore. They're better off. Thank God for a place called heaven. You know, let's not get so depressed. Do me a favor. If you're still here when I die, do me a favor. Have a revival meeting, not a crying service. I want songs sung that are uplifting. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. I want people to get up and talk about good things and not cry about it. Now, I want to be missed, just so you know. You say, why? Because I'm human. I want people saying, bless God, I'm glad he's out of here. I'll have plenty of those, all right? But may I say this, I think we ought to hurt when somebody passes, but man, don't you feel too sorry for me. I'm going to be having the time of my life. I think funerals ought to be a time of lifting up and praise and excitement about where they are. The funerals for those of us left, not the one gone, they're not there. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Can I tell you something? Let's praise God for those who go to heaven. Praise God for those who go to heaven. I thought this week about hundreds of people that I know there. I literally thought of hundreds of names. I just started writing names down, and I went through I don't know how many sheets of paper of names, and I know I missed a bunch. Man, there's some I still miss. I miss Brother Hiles. And do me a favor, never have a bagpiper play Amazing Grace at my funeral. I still can't listen to that. They played it at Brother Hiles' funeral, made me mad. I still cannot listen to a bagpiper do Amazing Grace. I got to get out of there. Say why? I'll start crying. I still can't do it. He's been dead for 15 years now. Unbelievable. But it still bothers me. But can I tell you something? It ought to be a praise God time. Thank God for all the things God did. Thank God you don't have to listen to me anymore. Whatever it is, amen? Can I tell you something? God didn't just say praise him when everything's good. God didn't say just praise him when you got everything you wanted. He said, matter of fact, praise me because I'm God. Praise me when I'm poor, when I'm weak, needy, in distress. Praise when people are opposing you. And praise God when people die and go to heaven. Can I tell you something? How's your praise life? Make two statements and I'm done. We don't praise each other well because we're not praising him well. When you start getting praise this way right, this praise starts coming pretty easy. How are you going to praise a sinner if you're not going to praise a sinless God? Amen. Grace Baptist Church, we have an awful lot to praise his name for. This church has a lot to praise God for. We've had 53 visitors in 7 weeks. In 2016. We've had 53 visitors. All the bills are paid. That's enough to praise God for right there. Amen. We're about ready to build a building. Amen. That's enough to praise God for. Can I tell you something? We have plenty to praise God for. You say, well, so-and-so's hurt. Yeah, they're hurt. Somebody's not well. It's always going to be that way. But guess what? There's a lot to praise him for. How is your praise going? I will praise the name of the Lord God. By the way, as people get saved, as visitors come, as the building gets built, it's not look at us, it's look at him. Amen. Let's praise him, not us.
That's right.
It's not about us, it's about him. It's his church, not our church. And that's what it's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You know why you don't praise each other well? You don't praise him well. Some of us need to hit this altar tonight and praise God for a moment. I'm not talking about jumping up and down and raising your arms and shouting. And I'm talking about praising God for things he's done in your life.